Father, we thank you. Because you are good. And Lord, I thank you, oh God, for the choruses that were sung that have embedded themselves in our hearts, oh Lord, that we will tell what you've done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember and to consider, oh Lord. Help us to remember and consider, my God. This time is yours, our lives are yours. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to even say with confidence, the words that we use are yours. Lord, speak through us, O Lord, to declare your goodness, that we would further your kingdom with our words. In your holy and mighty name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to give a really brief turn signal. I will say this, I promise you, I will not keep you late. And the Lord has given me plenty of time just to encourage your heart. So I'm only going to give a little bit of an introduction because for those of you guys who do not know, I'll be preaching again next week. So I don't feel like I've lost any time at all, at all. I really felt like the Lord was doing what he really needed to do today with some of our hearts. It's funny, as I was looking up here, you know, your mind starts racing. Does anybody else's mind race a little bit when the Lord is doing things? And we're trying to hear, Lord, what are you doing? How am I supposed to participate? How am I supposed to engage? Bob, I'm going to give you an FYI. You're not going anywhere. Just stay right there the whole time. But how am I supposed to engage? What am I supposed to be doing? And I was sitting here in the back thinking, you know what? I could probably make that prayer line a little bit more efficient if I just stood up there and just interceded with my wife for everybody. And I was like, no, I'm going to stand with my daughter. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to make a different decision, whether for your family or for somebody else or something. And you're just like, this is what I'm going to do. She's got it. The Lord is doing what he needs to do. And it's awesome. It's simple. And it's awesome. Sometimes we over-insert ourselves in things that we ought not to insert ourselves in and just let the cards fall as they may. Amen? So it's funny because honestly, there's not even that much I necessarily need to say because so much of my message is that, again, captured in the prayer time, captured in the prophetic words that were shared or the exhortations that were given, the choruses that were sung. And my mind was racing even from the very beginning when my wife was dialoguing about it being in the month of Adar and Adar. Yeah, so therefore all the Hebrew folk are laughing at me too, right? I said it all wrong. I wrote it down. You know, it's funny, just as a reminder to everyone, especially at times like this, I have to encourage us to honestly pull out a pen and paper, you know, and write the things down that the Lord highlights. All right, there are things that he highlights that we're supposed to meditate on, to consider, to ponder, just to think about for extended periods of time. You heard me say last time during the worship service that sometimes what we've been experiencing, or at least the best way I could explain what I've been experiencing in this house, feels very much like those Marvel movies. You know, and the reason why I say that is because the storyline is so layered, and the more you watch, the bigger the picture gets. Now, again, take note, I'm not advertising those movies at all. I'm just trying to paint a picture of the fact that if we go to different things, if we pay attention to different things, if we take certain things into consideration, we do get a chance to see a bigger picture. One of the things that the Lord was encouraging me to highlight was prophetic history. I've been thinking about it over and over and over again, taking time to consider and to meditate on my own personal prophetic history, the church's prophetic history, the prophetic history of the body of Christ at large. What has God said prophetically? What has God said in dreams or visions? What has God said in his word? And are you actually looking at the big picture and the backdrop to get a little bit more clarity and context to what God is trying to tell you, as to what God's trying to tell you in this moment, as to what you should be doing in this season? And unfortunately, many of us even have been given the prophetic words, even in this house, and we never go back to look at them again. We remember vaguely what's going on or vaguely what he said, but did you actually make it a dialogue when he has spoken to you? Do you make it a dialogue? Do you wrestle through certain things? Even when we're spending time in scripture, one of the things that I find incredible with many believers is that we spend so much time in the scriptures, but we don't even pray through them. We don't talk to the Lord about them. We don't say, Lord, what are you trying to say here? Because come on now, let's be honest. How many of y'all actually read that thing all the time and understand what he's talking about? Exactly. So if you don't understand what he's talking about, if your wife says something you don't know what she's saying, you'd be like, wait, baby, say that one more time. Right? Am I the only one that says that? Or my kids are talking, I'm like, wait, hold it, baby, run that back one more time. You just left daddy back yesterday. Right? If we ask for clarity from one another, why wouldn't we ask clarity from the Lord? Ask for clarity. I will say this. I'll give you a couple things to consider. I had a couple of my quotable statements, and I'll just give a few of them. I have a goal. Okay? And my goal is to get us coherently lost and intoxicated with the mystery and the nature of the effects of God's powerful and faithful love. Now, it's funny. I will say it again. Thank you, baby A. For those of you guys who want to write that down, I have a goal. And it almost sounds like this does, it contradicts, but I'll explain. To get us coherently lost and intoxicated with the mystery of the nature and the effects of God's powerful and faithful love. I have a goal to get us coherently lost and intoxicated with the mystery of the nature and the effects of God's powerful and faithful love. Now, the funny thing is, when you say intoxicated, obviously that's under the influence of strong substances and you have lost control. Yes, that's the word I wanted to use. Where you lose control. Because the thing is, when it comes down to passion for the Lord, it will offend people. Right? Maybe y'all a little more righteous than I, or your family is more righteous than I, but maybe you've never been in the company of somebody who was under the influence of something. And the funny thing is, the things they do sometimes offends you. Has anybody been there? Somebody under the influence of something, and all of a sudden they say or do stuff that offends you? I need us to be the same when it comes down to the things of the Lord, where we are intoxicated. But the thing is, we are so lost, not because we just lose control for the sake of losing control, but we are just lost in his faithful love for us. My message today was going to ride on various men in the Bible who have made incredible statements in the midst of very challenging circumstances, right? One that I would consider briefly would be like a Jeremiah, you know? You guys know about Jeremiah, right? Preached for about 20 years before exile officially kind of happened when Babylon took over. But during those 20 years of him preaching, he had a scribe that helped him write down stuff. I'm not sure if you guys know, Jeremiah was a very intelligent man. He wrote a large chunk of the Old Testament. He wrote 1st and 2nd Kings. He wrote Jeremiah, and he wrote the book of Lamentations, right? And it's funny, if you read through Lamentations, you will actually see situations and scenarios that he was lamenting for because of how he was treated in Israel when he proclaimed the word of the Lord, right? And Jeremiah, during that time where he was preaching, he had his words rejected. He had a scribe write his words down, and he handed them to the king. And the king just sat down in a chair or his throne and just threw them all in the fire. Oh, what's the word Lord saying? In the fire, right? He was in the company of other prophets, and he gave a prophetic image. They daunted him and talked trash about his image, broke the image, you know, went all against him, threw my man in a well where he was up to his neck in water, just enough to keep him alive. When he was in prison, they shackled my man. They gave him the bread of affliction. They did all kinds of things horrible to this man. And yet, let's just get a little bit of context. Let's read a little bit, a few pieces of Jeremiah here. Let's look at Lamentations first, chapter 3, verses 22 through 32. I'm going to encourage some of you guys to read the entire chapter because it is really beautiful. And actually, the whole book is very beautiful. And though the book is a lament, there's a great deal of hope in it. Starting off in verse 22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly." I'm going to read that again. "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Sometimes some of us are a little too vocal about the issues we're going through. I'm just saying. "It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth, and let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him." I love the fact that the Lord does not apologize for what he does. Some things he's placed before us to bear, and it's all right. Amen, church? "Let him put his mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope. And let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him. And be full of reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he shows compassion according to the multitude of his great mercies." Another phrase to consider, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. "But what things were gained to me, these things I counted loss for Christ." These are the words of Paul. "Yet indeed I count all things as lost for the excellencies of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." I have to say that again. "Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The question I ask more often than not is, what causes men to say such things in the midst of such intense trials? Like, honestly, we all know that God is faithful, right? We got a bunch of verses memorized concerning faith, you know. If not, just, you know, run down Hebrews 11. There's a bunch there, you know. And so we understand God's faithfulness, but do we understand God's faithfulness? We have all the verses to talk about God's love, but do we understand God's love? Because when it is deeply understood, things really do change significantly for us. Because when you get that heavenly perspective, that eternal perspective, that knowledge and that confidence that God is going to make all wrongs right, and he is faithful to his word, just like he's faithful to you, right? And we have all these prophetic words, and sometimes they sit on the shelf, we don't go back to them, we don't think about them. And then we be like, man, I wonder what happened to that. When the Lord is like, I've been waiting for someone to actually respond to my word. To say, hey, God, if you said this, I'm going to keep talking to you about this and keep asking for all the stuff for me to get there. Right? Let's take a step back real quick. Jeremiah chapter 1. And this will be my last verse. And then I'm going to ask you guys to remember, and we're going to pray and go home. Well, we'll pray, we'll eat, and go home. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. Message for the youth. God calls us when we're young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms. To rule out or to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Words given to Jeremiah. Now, I've had a couple of conversations with people this week about prophetic words and stuff like that. And some people feel a little bit caught off guard when God gives them a word that they don't quite line up with. Anybody got one of those? And the thing that's really interesting is that many of the words that God gives, more often than not, they come into fruition, sometimes more often than not, decades later. Jeremiah got this word in his youth, and there are some aspects of this word that causes you to kind of tilt your head a little bit, because you can look at this and say, if I was going to receive Jeremiah's word, and I am above the nations and over kingdoms, and I'm rooting out and pulling down, throw down, destroy, build, plant, I think I'm doing something in the kingdom, right? And where did we talk about man was located? In a well, rejected by other prophets. The words that he shared was burned in a pot by kings, right? For all intents and purposes, it seems almost like his life was not victorious. But yet we're reading about him today, not that king. Amen? Some things just look different. And sometimes we have married ourselves to an idea of the gospel, or married ourselves to an idea about Jesus that's not quite true nor accurate. And we need to consider the variables carefully. I promise you, and some of you have heard me make this statement before, many of the men in Scripture and many saints in the past have endured way more hell than we complain about today. Yet they never suffered burnout, many of which did not complain to other people, though they did bend the Lord's ear, which I would encourage us to still keep doing. Bend the Lord's ear. Bring your complaints to the Lord, all right? So that he can encourage your heart if you need the encouragement, or humble you if you need to be humbled. But no safer place than to be before the Lord. But again, many men have endured way more hell than we complain about when we're ready to throw in a towel. And my only invite to you is, what do you think anchored them? What realization did they come to that anchored them? And know that that realization, that truth, still exists today to anchor believers today. That you can endure all kinds of hell, fire, and high water, and whatever trauma or issue that's going on around and about you, you can endure these things and still be anchored in truth. And see, my wife was very much on it, though she was just basically writing on the calendar, saying that this is a season for us to redefine rest. What does that look like? Now, my elders love me a lot, and they're always beating me up. This, my elders, as well as many of you in this room who've known me for many years, have beat me up a lot about, Ron, are you resting? Because they know I work really hard and run really hard. I appreciate all those voices in my life, but one of the things I had to recognize that I had this idea in my mind what resting looked like, right? You know, anybody else got an idea of what resting looks like? A sunny beach? Yes? Come on now, y'all not smiling. Y'all got to get work your imagination about what does a place of rest look like. I was thinking, you know, sunny beach, you know, nice hotel room, jacuzzi or something like that. Something nice, right? And I had to come to the conclusion that the Lord is inviting us and inviting all of you, inviting the body of Christ at large into this place of a perpetual Sabbath. It just never ends. And it's funny how I started to get to this conclusion is this year I've had two scheduled vacations already. Both of them were like slammed horribly, right? I flirted with some of the context, so I'll give you guys a little bit of context now just to give you an idea. Now, my stuff that I endure is nothing like some of these guys in scripture. But at least if it can help us to bridge the gap, I'll share some, okay? So about a couple months ago, many of you guys know, about 9-ish weeks-ish or so ago, my uncle passes away, right? That was the week before my vacation. Now, my family, not all walking with Jesus, needed a whole lot of help. So the week of our vacation, my wife and I was planning a funeral that I had to officiate, and it was the first funeral I officiated of a family member. You know, I've done funerals before, but I've never done one for a family member. And that was actually, had a different challenge than I actually kind of anticipated, all right? And then some of you know that that same week that I had to facilitate this funeral, my father had to endure major surgery. And my father has been in the hospital for the past 3 months, right? And it's still there. On top of that, that major surgery happened the morning of that funeral. And then after that funeral, in between the funeral and the burial site, of which I was supposed to go do the interment, I get into an accident with my mom and total my car. I am still borrowing Al Houck's car to this date. Thank you, Al. Can anybody say bad day? Bad week. We can all endure bad days and bad weeks. The thing that was significant about all of that, outside of the fact that some of you who knew what was going on, the love that you showed was extravagant. So thank you to all those who showed me tons of love, showed my wife and my kids tons of love during that season. It was a rough one, all right? And we're still dealing with the aftermath because obviously you guys know I don't have a car, you know? But what was beautiful in light of all of that was that I never lost sight of the Lord. And I was worshiping through the whole thing. People who were with me knew that I was feeling some kind of way because, you know, when you got all these things happening one after the other, you're kind of swirling for a little bit. Not swirling in sin, not swirling in despair, not swirling in anxiety, but swirling. Like, Lord, when is this going to stop? What's going on? Am I under attack? All these questions were coming up. But in the midst of it all, my Lord anchored me in peace. I never lost it. Never lost my peace. Never lost my cool. My kids never really felt the weight of what was going on outside of the fact that I was home a bit less because I've been working at my parents' house and being a little closer to my mother. All right? Why do I share this? Because I need to give you guys a hope that in the midst of these storms, and in my opinion, my storms are quite small in comparison to the storms that are coming. Do you have a grid to be anchored in hope, to be anchored by the Lord's faithful love, to be anchored in the promises that he said that are coming, even though you can't see it? Can you be anchored? Or are we all gonna fall in this pity party or fit of despair just because things are not going the way we want them to go? See, the Lord sees the big picture and we don't. Our 3-pound fallen brains cannot captivate the big picture. So stop trying. Does that make sense? So, man, that was a good sermon, preacher. Preach again. So, I will continue next week. All right? Because this was good. I think this was more than enough. I think this was more than enough. I think God did a lot. All right. And so I'm going to give you all a homework assignment. All right. That homework assignment is to look up and look through and pray through the prophetic words you've gotten. Some of you guys, again, have done that dream interpretation workshop. When you dream, you have to write it down. All right. The Bible studies we just had, we were talking about Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel 7, Daniel highlights that he had a dream and he rolled over out of his bed and wrote down the main points. It's in the Bible. Daniel rolled over and wrote down the main points. Don't get stuck in the weeds. Write down the main points. If Daniel did it, who is recognized in the scriptures of being the most prolific of interpretation of dreams, next to Daniel, you guys can argue about which ones were, or not Daniel, Joseph, you guys can argue which one you think is better. The fact of the matter is, that's what his habit was. And if the Lord speaks in dreams and you don't write things down, it shows that you have a lack of value of the word of the Lord. Write it down. If you don't pray through these things, you're not valuing what he said about you. Good grief. If teenage girls can get it together, when all of a sudden they get a love note and they just dwell over that note forever, can we get it together, please? Sorry, but you know what I'm talking about. Yes? Yes? Let us value... I'm sorry. So it's like, yo, that was funny. Okay. Can we value what he said? I'll continue this next week. So if you could just posture your hearts. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help us to remember. Amen? Father, I thank you that you are good and you do good. And I thank you that you have us all on this journey of being intoxicated with who you are. Lord, we want to be lost in you. We want to be found in you. We want you to move every aspect of our lives and be a governing factor of every decision that we make, every word that we say, every act that flows from us, oh God. Lord, we don't know you, but we know that we desire to know you more so. So, Father, we yield ourselves unto you and ask that by the Holy Spirit, we would hear you more clearly and be quicker to obey. Help us to value every way that you've spoken to us, and help us to value what you've already said. Help us to value the written scripture, O Lord, and let us abide in it. Let it be in every conversation. Let it be on the meditation of our hearts and our minds, my God. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the testimonies that will be shared, O God, concerning all that you have done in this season, O God. Lord, we thank you, and we ask again that you be glorified. All God's people said, amen. So for all those who are watching online, welcome to our living room. I'll be looking forward to seeing you all again when you're able to come out and visit. We do have refreshments in the back. Yes. And so please stick around, enjoy a refreshment, hug a neck, encourage somebody. And again, don't forget that assignment that I gave. Meditate on those prophetic words. You have a good day. Blessings.